Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Phrases like this in Scripture can be very disconcerting. Not so much the thing about jealousy and selfishness, but that apparent condemnation of ambition. Is ambition wrong? Only selfish ambition. And what's the difference between the two anyway? Is there a difference? Isn't all ambition at its root selfish? Actually, ambition in and of itself is a good thing, if we understand it as the will or desire to succeed or achieve a particular goal or end. Nothing wrong with that. That's something we all have to have. You want to be all that your talents and gifts allow you to be. You want to be all you can be. You want to live up to your potential. You want your gifts not to be wasted, but to be used to the fullest extent. You want to give your children the best things you can give them, especially the best education and spiritual formation. And you want your children to be the very best they can be. And you want to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What's wrong with that? In fact, it isn't actually wrong. It's actually wrong if we don't want to do those things. If we don't want to be the best we can be. Related to this is a humble but honest assessment of our talents. The fact is that all of us have certain gifts and talents, some of you more than the rest of us. But it's important that we recognize these gifts. Not so that we can feel good about ourselves or to become prideful and puffed up, but how can you use a gift, or how can you be thankful for it, if you don't admit that you have it in the first place? Remember, God is the giver of all good gifts. He doesn't want us to waste them. Think of the parable of the talents, right? The master, going on a trip, gave his servants different amounts of money, and to those who invested and grew the money, he rewarded them by giving more. But the one who simply buried the little that he'd been given, the master said, "Cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness." Right? So in this sense, ambition is a good and necessary thing. But like all good things, it can be corrupted, especially by what we call the passions, our own selfish desires. And so St. James says today, "Where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members?" The key problem is selfishness. Placing yourself and your desires first. Thinking not so much about being the best, but how to best meet your own self-interest. Whether that self-interest is oriented to your personal pleasure or to being famous or rich or respected by society. What do I want? What do I want to do with my gifts? This is the selfish ambition that St. Paul is talking about today, and is directly related to jealousy. I want the best for me, and I want the best you have for me. I say it many times, and now I say it again. God is love, and God created man in his own image, created us to love. First to love God, and then to love our neighbor, beginning with our spouses, our children, parents, and then eventually every single human being on the planet. God created us with a plan, and at the pinnacle of a well-ordered world, to be and live a certain way in a world of peace and serenity founded in God's love and man's love. And all the gifts he gives us, taken together as a whole or individually as unique persons, are all ordered to love as well. So that when we use those gifts in a way contrary to love, when we are driven by inordinate self-love, jealousy and selfish ambition, everything gets messed up, everything's confused. As St. James says, there is disorder in every foul practice. But when the love of God and our neighbor is our starting point and our goal. And when we try our very best to use our gifts to their fullest extent in keeping with selfless love, when ambition becomes not selfish but self-gift, then life becomes more as it should be, as it was created to be. So that even in the middle of all the disorder around us, our lives and the lives we touch become, as St. James continues today, he says, they become peaceful, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. In today's gospel we read, quote, they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest, close quote. Jealousy and selfish ambition right there at the beginning among the apostles. They argue about who is the greatest, but the greatest what? You think they were arguing about who was the greatest martyr or who was the greatest example of charity? I don't think so. They still hadn't come to understand what being a disciple was all about. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. Yet they apparently wanted to be masters and not servants, even though their master had said, the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he would tell them, as we read today, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. This was his plan and his Father's plan for the salvation of the world. God's plan to return all things to their proper order, where one man's perfect life and death in love, in humble service to the Father and to man, could bring peace to all those who would accept it. This, my friends, was true and perfect ambition. Not selfish ambition, as Jesus would constantly run away from those who wanted to make him a worldly king. So we read today that he began a journey through Galilee but did not wish anyone to know about it. His ambition was not even simply to reign in heaven as God, which was his right and would be just. No, his ambition was to love and to serve his Father and us no matter what it took. So as St. Paul writes elsewhere, though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. And it is in this servanthood that he achieves his ambition and reconciles man to the love of God. But as we read today, even after he tried to explain all this, what was going to happen and what his ambition was, it tells us they did not understand the same and they were afraid to question him. What were they afraid of? Maybe they remembered what he had told them only days before, as we read last week, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Of course, eventually, his apostles came to understand and accept this teaching. With the exception of Judas, all of them became true servants of God and their neighbor, and all but John followed their master to a martyr's death, making their own the loving and selfless ambition of Christ. All of us should be ambitious to be the best that we can be, to use the gift that God has given us, whether they're small and humble or prodigious and phenomenal. We should be ambitious to use those in love for God and for our neighbor. Because this is what we were made for, and this is what these gifts were given to us for. And if this is not our ambition, we will always fall short of our true potential, never truly being the best that we can be, never truly being happy in this world or in the next. And our lives will always be marked by disorder and fell practice, and never know fully the purity and peace the mercy and good fruits that God has planned for all of us. Some might say, you know, Father, I pray every day asking God to help me to be the best I can be, and yet I keep falling short. But what do we pray to be the best at? Do we pray to be the best lawyer or scientist or doctor or teacher or homemaker or student or mother or father or priest? And how do we keep falling short in having fun or pleasure or making lots of money or being famous or well thought of by your peers or the public? It's fine to pray to be the best lawyer, doctor, teacher, homemaker, or priest, but only if we pray to do that as the best servant of God and neighbor that we can possibly be. To be whatever God in His wisdom has planned and wants us to be, what He created us to be and to do. Do we even care that we fall short of that constantly? As St. Paul tells us today, you ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, to waste it. Today, the Lord Jesus has spoken to us in sacred scripture just as surely as He spoke to those disciples that day 2,000 years ago. And He comes to us today, humbly, under the sign of what looks like a piece of bread, but truly the eternal, glorious Word made flesh, really present here in His crucified and risen body. His greatest ambition now is to use all His gifts to save all mankind, to save you and me from sin, to pour out the grace of the cross into our hearts and transform our selfish ambition into selfless ambition, to lift us up to be the great men and women that He created us to be. But He cannot do this alone. That's His ambition, but it must be our ambition too. Will we understand this? Will we ask Him not for the wrong things, but rather, Lord, what is it that You, in Your perfect wisdom, want me to do with these gifts You've given me to serve You and Your people? Will we ask Him, or will we, like those first disciples, be afraid to question Him? My friends, hear Him today. Ask Him today. And open your heart to His will and His grace and to His plan for you. And let there be no more jealousy and selfish ambition, no more disorder and foul practice among us. But rather open your hearts and become selflessly ambitious to be the very best you can be, to love and be the last of all and the servant of all. Praise be Jesus Christ.